familiar voice to RNIB Talking Book users, Steve Hodson has passed away at the age of 77. He was a member of BBC Radio's Drama Repertory Company for almost 40 years, and people of a certain age will remember him in Follyfoot from 1971 to 1973. Here he is telling us how he started narrating for Talking Books.
I had been away from London for years. I'd been up north doing a television programme, and I came back, and I'd only been back about 6 months, and I got a phone call from the man who then ran Talking Books. He was called Ian Turner. He said, "Would you like to do a book?" And I went, "Wow, yes." And so I did one. It's a tester, really. I think it was based up north. I was born in Yorkshire, so the accent was all right. And then I recorded that, and about a week or so later, when it had all been prepped, supposedly, I got a phone call, "Would you like another?" And I said yes, and that was 1975. Even when I went away sort of filming or doing a telly or in theatre, I always had an RNIB book in my bag, either to prep, or I would phone the studios and say, "I've got Wednesday off, I've got a Friday off," and we'd fit. So you're constantly coming in. What's happened here is that I've been asked to do books that I'm not aware of the authors at all, but it's opened me up to them. So I have met new authors and through being here. And that's been fascinating as well. At the moment, I'm doing a book called Gallipoli, which is about the Gallipoli campaign in the First World War, written by a man called Alan Moorhead, a great historian. It's a fascinating book. The week before that, I was doing two young adult books. You know, it really keeps the old brain box going, you know. Because you have to be authorial voice, you get to play the men, the women, the children, you have to be everybody. And be aware exactly of what the author's intending. So it's absolutely fascinating. If you think about it too deeply, it's terrifying. And I've met a lot of blind people. I was once in the BBC club having done a play there. And the voice boomed across the bar saying, "You're Steve Hodson." And it was a blind guy with his guide dog. And he just heard my voice talking to someone. And he'd heard loads of books I'd done and things. And he came bounding across the BBC club. And we had a great night. You've got to talk to somebody like him to realise just how much it means. It means that a young historian can keep up with what's going on. Politicians. I mean, I've done all these things, you know. Having done this television series, you used to get fan mail. But I got fan mail from the blind reader. There's nothing like it in the world. You've opened up a whole new world. And books are my passion. I have the hugest personal library. I've got about 6,000 books, which my daughters are now stealing bit by bit. And be able to give that to somebody, oh, it just broke my heart and filled me full of pride as well. And when I decided that really, about 3 or 4 years ago, that I might start retiring and running down things, the one thing I could not give up for the life in me was RNIB. I love it. I've loved working for them throughout. I've seen so many different bosses and engineers and producers. It's been a magical time.
That was Steve Hodson speaking to us 9 years ago. Around about the same time, while he was still recording for Talking Books, I was doing the Talking Books show on RNIB Connect Radio. And I sent him a very loose script where he could fill in the blanks and tell us about one of his favourite Talking Books.
It's been difficult to choose a favourite book. You can imagine I've done an awful lot. Novels, biographies, autobiographies, poetry, all sorts of things. But one I do remember is a book called Master and Margarita by Mikhail Bulgakov. It's a surreal and fantastical book about Satan paying a visit to Moscow. And it's full of weird and wacky creatures, Satan's entourage of little devils. And it is absolutely bizarre.
"Allow me to introduce you." Roland began, then interrupted himself. "No, really. He looks too ridiculous. Just look what he has done to himself while he was under the bed. The cat, covered in dust and standing on its hind legs, bowed to Margarita. Round its neck, it was now wearing a made-up white bow tie on an elastic band, with a pair of ladies' mother-of-pearl binoculars hanging on a cord. It had also gilded its whiskers. 'What have you done?' exclaimed Woland. Why have you gilded your whiskers? And what on earth do you want with a white tie when you haven't even got any trousers?
Trousers don't suit cats, Messiah, replied the cat with great dignity.
Sit down and stop all this hot air.
Very well, replied the cat, sitting down, but I must object. My remarks are by no means all hot air, as you so vulgarly put it, but a series of highly apposite syllogisms, which would be appreciated by such connoisseurs as Sextus Empiricus, Marcion Capella, even, who knows, Aristotle himself.
Check, said Woland.
Check it is, rejoined the cat, surveying the chessboard through his lorgnette.
So, Woland turned to Margarita. Let me introduce my retinue. That creature who has been playing the fool is the cat Behemoth. Azaziello and Kuroviev you have already met. This is my maid, Hella. She is prompt, clever, and there's no service she cannot perform for you. A charming and select little band.
It is a thinly veiled critique of Stalinist Russia. No wonder Stalin didn't like Mikhail Bulgakov. I love this writer anyway. I've done a couple of his plays because he also worked at Moscow Arts Theatre. And I like his work a lot. But it stands out in my mind because not long ago I was phoned with the help of the BBC. A young man got in touch with me and said he and his girlfriend were listening to Master and Margarita together and that they both loved it. But it was going to be her birthday the following week. And he was taking her down to Dorset. And at a certain time on her birthday, they were going to be walking along a beach there. And he asked me to phone him at that time. He would hand his phone to his girlfriend, and he wanted me to sing Happy Birthday in the voice I'd used for Satan in The Master and Margarita, which I did. I wish you could have heard her giggles. It was a lot of fun. Apparently they went out and had a very good lunch and far too much red wine afterwards. But it's lovely to be invited to do things like that. Just because you've recorded a book. I just hope it carries on forever. Even when my teeth have fallen out and I'm totally gaga, even then I'll have to be dragged kicking and screaming from the studios. I've loved doing it, particularly because we've had some wonderful responses. We all get them. One woman got in touch once and she was quite late to talking books. But even then a whole new world had opened up for her. And it was just so exciting to hear that and makes it all worthwhile. Roberts asked if he could finally add a line to end this, written by him, but I'm going to say it from the bottom of my heart. Thanks for listening to Talking Books. It's been my pleasure.